The editor of New Zealand Geographic is Rebecca White, who has done some analysis and some thinking about three possible scenarios for New Zealand's future with COVID-19. Her article is called Our New Future. She says the first scenario is terrible, the last one is pretty good, but none of them is guaranteed. And Rebecca joins us now. Hi there. Hi, Rebecca.
Kia ora, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. What made you write about this topic, apart from it being the only story in town at the moment?
Oh, you know what? At the start of lockdown, I was just, I was so tired all the time. I don't know if this happened to you, and it took me a while to figure out why, but I realised I was just sort of stressed and anxious, not knowing what was going to come next. And so I wanted to be able to look into the future and put some, make real what some of the challenges are that we might be facing, because I find it quite scary when you know that bad things are going to happen but you don't know what they are, as opposed to bad things when you do know what they are. Then you can look at them and think, oh yeah, okay, yep, I can manage that. So that was really the motivation behind this, trying to see where the next 6 months would take us.
And it's, by the way, the story is linked from our website if people want to read it in full. You tweeted about it yesterday because I think you were possibly feeling newly anxious. What was your kind of overwhelming feeling as we moved from level 4 to level 3?
I am a little bit nervous because after having spoken to some of the modellers and people who've been researching the virus outbreaks around the world, it's very easy for another outbreak to happen. We're definitely not at the end of the road with this. And hearing the kind of chatter as we moved from elite level 4 to level 3, I felt sort of people were sort of treating it a little bit like we were out of the woods and making plans to see people. And it doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like we can take some of the pressure off, but we're really not there yet.
Mm. And the best way to understand that is to think about what might happen. So as I say, you have three sort of different scenarios. Would you like to tell us about the first one?
So the first one that I wrote about is if we were to get a second outbreak, and there are a couple of instances in which this could happen, that Sean Hendy, who's been leading the modelling that a research organisation called Te Pūnaha Matatini has been doing, we talked about how this could happen, and it would be in a case where someone was quite far from healthcare, or if they had a lot of contact with a lot of people. The really mean thing about this virus is that you're infectious before you get sick. And so we're still getting new cases appear every day. That means we've got people walking around who have the virus but don't yet know that they're sick. And they do have the potential to infect other people. And so in my story, I talk about someone, you know, what if there was a forestry worker who picks it up from one of their colleagues, but they're also in a really remote area. And so if they wake up one day with a sore throat, it's a long drive to healthcare, but also they've probably been off work since January because forestry shut down so early. And are they going to miss a day of work after a few months of sitting around not earning any money? I don't know. There's situations like this where we really we'd be really unlucky if they happened, but it wouldn't be that hard.
And by the time we knew about it, who would be infected?
Exactly. The thing with a pandemic like this is that you have to pick up on infections really quickly, and then you have to be able to find everybody that person came into contact with really quickly as well. So if you're in situations where you can't do that, then you're in trouble.
What was your other example, the young teacher in Grey Lynn?
Yeah, again, if you had someone who was able to sort of pick up the virus from a colleague and then went home, and they were living in a situation that was quite crowded, maybe they've got family staying with them because their family's out of a job, and then they pass it on to all that family, and then that person, it's alert level 3 now, and so they go out to console someone who's having a hard time, they can pass the virus on. It can go quite far in a short amount of time if you're not able to isolate people. If you don't know that someone has it, you're not going to isolate them yet and tell them that they can't go out and see anyone. And we're all missing people. And so we all at the moment want to go out and see the people that we've been separated from the last 5 weeks. But that's still a really big risk factor at the moment.
So what's the second scenario then?
In terms of if we were to contain it and there wasn't to be another outbreak?
Yeah.
So we could we didn't get another outbreak, what we might end up doing is sort of what we're doing now, which is containment. And containment's really, really boring. It means that the virus is still sneaking around and we haven't gotten rid of it entirely. But we also can't open up our lives because we're really worried about another outbreak actually taking place. And so it means this, basically, but this for an indefinite period of time. And if you're a modeller, you can't really predict what's going to happen because it's all dependent on people's behaviour. And the future is all dependent on people's behaviour right now, to be honest. And if we're stuck in a situation where we're still managing to pass it around a little bit, but we're able to catch those very quickly and shut them down, we're not going to get an outbreak, but we're going to have to continue to be on guard for as long as those infections continue to just sort of continue along if we can't get rid of it entirely.
Okay, and then the third scenario, probably the best one, or definitely the best one, is elimination. And you warn, after chatting to Massey University demographer Paul Spurnley, that even if that one happens, life will never be the same. He asks for flexibility.
Very much. So elimination is what we all really want, because it does mean that life returns to as close to normal as we're going to get. Because if we don't have to watch out for the virus spreading, if we can confidently say, well, it's just not here anymore, then we're open to continue to do, whatever within New Zealand. We're going to be the most popular country in the world if we manage to do that. But it does mean that we will have seen some very big shifts in the economy happen over that time. And so one of the biggest changes that will have happened if we get to that scenario will be there will be people looking for work, and people probably looking at retraining because the type of work that they were doing still doesn't exist again yet. And so what Paul Spurnley was talking about was that flexibility was going to become a very important characteristic of someone in the workforce in terms of the ability to potentially change what line of work they're in if they're not able to continue their current line of work, which is a pretty scary thing for people facing that.
Hey, well, thank you for the work that you've done to help us understand it, Rebecca. Well done on the piece. We've linked to it on the website for people who want to read it in full. And congratulations on the ongoing great work you're doing at New Zealand Geographic.
Thank you very much.